Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hey everyone, welcome to an all new episode of TV Dinners, the podcast where we talk about all things TV to feed your entertainment hunger. Tonight, we're going to start by saying everyone is really sad about, well, I'm really sad about the death of Queen Elizabeth II. I am only second generation American from my mom's side. My great-grandmother was born in the UK. I have a very strong history and tie there. I'm very sorry, and my sympathies go to everyone who want them. I feel very badly about that. In fact, this year, lots of great Queen Elizabeth and Crown stories came out. So the universe always works so oddly in that direction. But tonight, we are going to talk about the Emmys. What was nominated? What was snubbed? What has already won? I love all these technical awards before the show. Sometimes they actually tell me so much more about where TV is going and sort of the, you know, what's getting recognized. And then sometimes it sort of feels like a hodgepodge. This year, it definitely feels like it's all over the map. So let's get into that for sure. This is the 74th. Primetime Emmy Awards. In case you didn't know, which I'm sure everybody does, streaming content is considered television. So even if you have like a limited run of something, you know, some kind of like movie that is maybe put into two parts, it's still considered TV. It's not considered a movie. Secondly, the nominees this year, which we will get into specifically, are scoring a little bit differently because we don't have as many primetime regular TV shows. I will say that streaming services lead the way. HBO, Netflix, Apple TV, they all sort of have quite a bit more sway now than the CBS, the NBC. In fact, one of the biggest snubs that most people seem to be a little bit mad about is no love for This Is Us, which ran its last season this year. So interesting that that is what happened. Secondly, we'll go through some of who the winners were this time. There are some specific technical awards, like I said, but there are also some really interesting short stories that get honored before the award ceremony so that the big award ceremony can kind of go on with all of its fanfare. So I am going to introduce my guests here tonight, and hopefully we'll have some real interesting discussions about some of the things that are up for awards. I'm going to start with Josh. Josh, how are you tonight? And also, if to anybody who doesn't know, Josh is our producer. I know that Josh watches a lot of TV, but I was wondering, Josh, just right off the bat, have you seen most of these shows, or at least a good majority of the ones that are up for Emmys?
I'd say I'd seen, for the most part, at least half of all of the majors.
Okay, that's good. Okay, and Kinte, how are you tonight? And same question to you. Have you seen most of or some of the shows that are out for award nominations?
I've seen some of them, not most. Can I say two things before we get started?
This is a slap-free show, by the way. So,
One is rest in peace to David Arnold, who's a fantastic comedian who passed away at the age of 51. Oh,
you know what? I heard about that.
Yeah, that is so sad. He was a very, very good comedian, and it just was shocking that he passed away.
And super young. Oh my gosh, he was so young.
Yeah, very talented guy. I've seen him on stage many times. And then can I say one other thing is I feel really old today.
Do you?
I actually went to see Jaws 3 in the theater today. Mm. And while I was watching it, you know, I was like, you know what? I was wondering, when did Robert Shaw die, right, Quint? And I saw that he died 3 years after the movie came out in 78. And he was 51 years old. So I was like, wait a minute. He was only 48 when he made that movie. I thought he was like in his 60s.
Yeah.
He's only 2 years older than me, like a little bit over 2 years. I was like, oh my God. Like, I thought the guy was in his 60s. He was only 2 years older than I am now.
Yep.
I'm like, oh my God. This is making me feel old. Like, that he was. That, you know, I thought he was way older than he was in that movie. So
I think one of the things, definitely one of the things that I noticed that is happening more and more recently is that the our sense and brushes with mortality are becoming a lot more poignant. They touch me harder. Because as I'm getting older, I'm starting to realize that, you know, hey, I'm creeping into the age bracket when a lot of these people start to die. Now, let's be very clear here. Most of these people that we are talking about, except for Arnold, who I don't know if David Arnold lived that kind of lifestyle, but a lot of these people, man, they really lived hard lifestyles. Like, really, really. And also, not to let it go by without notice, Queen Elizabeth was 96, so... You know, we all got a good chance of living another 40, 50 years.
Well,
who knows?
My question was, do you think she's ever been shopped at Target?
The Queen?
Yeah.
No, I don't think she ever shopped at Target.
Does she even
maybe
know what Walmart
online.
Is?
Maybe, she, maybe online.
Does she know what Walmart is?
I highly doubt that. I don't even think Walmart is in the UK, so I doubt
it.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, she's
yeah.
been out here before.
You never know, yeah.
Well, shout out to Naked Gun, the first Naked Gun that that had her.
No kidding.
The scene with her at the Angels game at the end. I mean, she wasn't in the movie, but that woman looked just like her too.
The Queen has. I mean, I just read an article earlier today about the amount of fiction and nonfiction that has been written about Queen Elizabeth. And let me tell you, it is an extensive list. There have been both documentaries about little vignettes about, you know, like they give her sort of cameos inside of all about Buckingham Palace, all about Windsor, all about Balmoral, those kinds of things. But then there have been like real biopics that have been done, which, and I mean, just recently the Queen, really good stuff. So interesting. I feel very nostalgic today for some reason. This one's tough because my great grandmother really was extremely English, like, you know, milk in your tea three times a day. It meant something. There were things that are sort of in my, across the pond heritage that it just sort of hit home. And she was also one of those people that would have had, like, you know, pictures of the Queen or pictures all over the place of anybody who was royalty. So it, yeah.
Oh, and fun fact, Tori Rush is actually British. She hails from London.
Yeah. No, I do not.
Is that true, Tori?
I'm part Viking, though. I'm Irish, German, Swiss, and There's so one like more.
The so like the rest of us, you're basically a mutt. Right?
I'm a mutt. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's how I feel about my ancestry too. Like, listen, you know what? My ancestors were all over the map. Yeah.
Everybody had to have sex.
I'm mixed with black and black.
Me too.
Okay, so yeah, I was just gonna ask you, Josh. Do you have any English heritage? Are you English by ancestry?
Scott Irish English. You know, it's all under the same you're corporate UK-ish. Banner.
You're UK-ish.
I did get some breaking news.
What is the breaking news?
Because of our touching tribute to the Queen, we ourselves have won an Emmy. There we go.
Oh, that's really sweet. Thank you so much. We'll all accept this Emmy.
Yay!
Janya, that much closer to an EGOT.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really excited. Really excited. When they start giving out awards for, you know, best dragon lovers and, you know, cross culture. Yeah, no, never mind. Anyway, all right, let's get to it. So, first thing, I actually want to touch on the outstanding comedy series because I feel like this category gets so little love. I mean, outstanding drama series always gets a lot of attention, and so do the cast for outstanding drama series. But outstanding comedy series always feels like it's sort of, you know, everybody's backyard child, like, you know, just leave it in the yard and we'll see what happens. So this year, the field is pretty big. And honestly, I've seen every single one of these in at least a couple of different episodes. And then some of them I've seen all the way through. So we're going to start in alphabetical order. Abbott Elementary, which is on HBO. Do you guys know about that one?
Abbott Elementary is on ABC.
That's an ABC show. That's a network.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You're right. Thank you for correcting me. I actually have it say ABC, and I read it as HBO because HBO is Barry underneath. So, okay. So have you guys seen it?
Every episode.
Yeah, and do you like it? What's your feeling? What do you like about it?
Well, considering I sort of have daily interactions with teachers, it gets across, I think, the proper mood of what it's like to be a teacher, especially in an elementary school. The frustrating elements of I'm losing my mind to, but I'm making a difference.
Yeah.
They nail it in every episode.
Yeah, there's something very, and the humor in this is, it's offbeat just enough that it really kind of grabs your attention. It's like, it's slice of life, real comedy. I very much like this show a lot. Have either of you seen it, Tori or Kinte?
No.
I've only seen Curb Your Enthusiasm on this list.
Curb Your Enthusiasm is my favorite series of all time. I'll tell you what, Larry David is fucking hilarious. That's all I have to say.
I would definitely agree that he is hilarious, and this is actually a very long-lived show, so it definitely deserves some love. But nobody has any... Well, I shouldn't say nobody. Okay, let's just move on. So, Barry. Has anybody seen Barry on HBO?
I've seen the first season. I saw the first season.
I really like it. I really like it a lot. So interesting. Again, different kind of humor, but really good. I very much like this show. Okay, Curb Your Enthusiasm. Everybody's got a lot of love for Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I thought this last season was okay. It wasn't. It's never bad. I thought it wasn't as great as the last couple of seasons, but it was still
a little bit less snarky. Yeah, it felt.
Yeah,
a
and
bit
it kind of ended.
Snarky.
Kind of just ended like. I didn't even realize it was the finale. I was like, you know, but I enjoyed it though, nonetheless. So, they are filming a new season. So,
yep. Right now. Yeah, we know it. This one has already been renewed. What about Hacks? Have you guys seen Hacks?
Mm-mm. Oh man, you're naming all these shows, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
So Hacks is super offbeat. It's good. Let me ask you, Josh.
Yeah.
Do you like the humor in this show, or do you find it too off? Like, is it too difficult sometimes?
Oh, no.
I've heard people say it.
The humor is amazing. I love the jokes. I understand that the sort of caricature of, you know, ultra feminist, you know, trying to teach people about, you know, the way she sees the world. It's not a bad thing, but it's kind of weird that they're making it a joke in some parts.
Yeah. Yeah. And to anybody that doesn't know, I mean, I hate these synopses are so bad because honestly, if you say a dark mentorship, it doesn't sound like it is. I mean, basically these two people come together. One of them is this unbelievably well-known Las Vegas comic, and the other is this like young kind of upstart writer. And the two of them together, man, they clash. They clash a lot, but it works so well because the humor is basically like them trying to figure stuff out. I love this show. I thought this show was extremely well written, and I think the problem that a lot of people have with this is the feminism. Let's just face it. I feel like people don't like that. That's nothing new. In fact, at the end of the show, I will definitely talk about what I think is happening for next year, and that'll be part of it. The next one also has the same similar issue, The Marvelous Miss Maisel. That is an Amazon Prime showing. I have seen every single episode of this, and I love it.
It's amazing. She's
so good. Have you guys seen any of these? Any
All
episodes
of
Miss Maisel?
I've only seen Curb Your Enthusiasm on this list, so I'm just, you know.
Wow. Yeah, me too.
So we won't have to keep
so
going.
So Miss Maisel is...
But I'm aware of these shows, so...
What is a good way to describe Miss Maisel?
Hilarious.
It's basically a woman trying to break into comedy.
In the 50s.
Specifically, it's stand-up comedy. And all the things that happen and go along with that, her successes, her failures, jokes don't land well, jokes land well, and they don't land in the right audience, all kinds of things. There was one scene in one of the episodes about her telling a joke that she thought was particularly funny for herself, and it ended up being about an affair, and who's in the audience but Miss Jacqueline Kennedy. It was just so well done. Really good. Good show.
How about that Ferris wheel scene?
Our next one. Our next one is, this one is really good. I don't know if you guys have seen this. Only Murders in the Building.
Yes.
Have you guys seen Only Murders in the Building at all?
Yes.
Man, I can't believe it. Okay.
Hello? We've only saw Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Only Murders in the Building, not Murderers, is hilarious.
Jen.
Martin Short is in it. He's up for a couple of awards. Steve Martin?
Can you hear us?
Well, a couple of other people.
Can you hear me,
Kenta? It's really, really, really funny. And everything that happens feels like a cross between... like a really offbeat but more current Panther, or you know, like they all just are so hilarious by themselves. Martin Short really deserves a huge shout out. Really, really, really love him. Ted Lasso. This is the only one on the list that I have not seen. Have you guys seen Ted Lasso at all?
Yes.
Jen, can you hear us?
Oh, you know what? Okay, we're stuck.
Well,
okay.
We're having some technical issues. It's Kente's fault.
Can you hear me?
Of course.
Okay.
I can hear you guys too.
Okay, so no, the thing with this, in this.
Go ahead.
Oh wait, Jen, are you back?
I am. I'm so sorry. My computer had some kind of weird technical glitch, and I wasn't even able to see the
chat. We were trying to talk to you, but you couldn't hear us.
I am so sorry.
Being the only show that me and Tori saw was Curb Your Enthusiasm, so we're really
okay
for the comedy list.
And you guys really don't even watch What We Do in the Shadows?
I do sometimes. It's a weird one, but I haven't catched enough episodes to really know what's going on. So I want to start it from the beginning. I think it's
I live a boring life where I don't get a chance to watch a lot of stuff. I'm secretly Amish.
I live a more boring life, and I watch everything. I love Mrs. Maisel. That Ferris wheel scene from the new season was amazing.
That was good.
Is it like the Ferris wheel scene from that movie Fear with Mark Wahlberg?
Exactly like it. So everybody should watch it. Only Murders in the Building. Amazing Steve Martin, Martin Short.
That sounds like as a 90s hip-hop gangster album.
Only Murders in the Building.
Only Murders in the Building.
What? What?
It's so good. That show is so good. It stands by itself. I don't know how they figured out how to give the comedy such timing, but it lands every single time. Well, even, I guess it's
Selena Martin. Gomez's deadpan stuff is
yes. Man, I really like it. I like it a lot. But and okay,
Ted Lasso is absolutely, utterly, positively amazing. Why aren't you guys on that?
I have not seen Ted Lasso. I want to, haven't seen it.
Everybody I know that watches it, it's like, I wasn't expecting to like Ted Lasso, but that first episode, it reels you in, and Ted is just an amazing character, an amazing guy. And Beard, don't get me started. Every character is wonderful.
You know, I think the reason that a lot of people haven't seen Ted Lasso is because it's Apple TV, and I'm not throwing shade at Apple TV, but it is definitely less streamed than some of these others, which I feel like are a little bit more mainstream just in terms of who can get access to them. So
me and Tori, we're boycotting Apple TV.
Yes.
Because we like oranges instead of apples.
Yes, we do. We do like oranges.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Well, and cherries. Okay, so personally, I'm going to move to Best Drama, but personally, I actually feel like What We Do in the Shadows should win. Tori, who do you feel like should win, obviously?
Curb Your Enthusiasm. But I do think that What We Do in the Shadows has a good chance. So that's all I have to
say. I would say of this list, just taking out Curb, the one show I saw, just from what I heard about the other shows, it seems like Ted Lasso probably will win it. So, because everybody seems to love Ted Lasso. Everybody who watches it sounds like Josh.
It's the best thing ever. Oh my God. It's so positive. It's so sweet.
That's probably why I haven't watched it yet, is because it's like, it can't live up to that. Like Breaking Bad was like that. Because I didn't watch it until like the fourth season was over.
Oh, and my God. I got it from the beginning.
Everybody was like, you got to watch it. Good. It's the greatest thing ever. Oh, oh so my funny. God. And then I was like, oh, God, whatever. And then.
All right. What about you, Josh?
Then that's how I sound talking about it.
Who do I think will win, or who do I want to win?
Who do you want to win? Now, let's not do who do we think will win, because you know what? That is just a crapshoot. And we're not running a Vegas betting parlor here.
But see, though, we haven't seen the show, so we have to. It might be better for us to say that.
That's why I'm saying just say who you want.
Well, I mean, I only seen one show, so I can't. I don't know. Okay.
Well.
All right. Well, All right. I think Ted Lasso. I want Only Murders in the Building because it sounds like a 90s hip hop album.
It's actually really good.
Really watch a couple episodes, just a couple. It's a really, just to see Martin Short and Steve Martin together, it's totally worth it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I feel bad because when we talk about a lot of TV shows and I don't know what you're talking about, is because I don't know, like I get confused because you switch yourself a little bit on what you're talking about, so I have to, like, anyway, I'm rambling. Sorry.
You sound under the weather too, Tori. You okay?
Oh, no, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm just tired.
Oh, okay. Well, Tori doesn't get tired.
I'll try to keep it more linear for you, Tori.
No, honestly, I love you, and this is a great show, so I'm sorry that I had a moment there.
my non sequiturs are famous, even in non-podcast circles. So yes, we all know that that's a thing.
This should be the name of the podcast should be Only Murders in the Building. Only yes. Murderers in the Building.
Name only murderers in the building. There we go.
Change
what do you feel like, Josh? What's your what would be your request? You know, who would you vote for?
Well, I couple of things I want to say real quick. I don't think Barry really fits on this list because it's funny. Barry is an absolutely funny show. But it's also got so much drama.
Yeah.
You know? And in fact, Bill Hader is not really funny at all. The lead is a very serious guy. And
Bill Hader is very funny, Josh.
It makes me wish there was a third category where they could just put the dramedies.
Yeah. Dramedies. There we go. That's actually what I think what we do in the shadows is.
I have issue with what Josh said because Bill Hader is funny. He's a very funny guy, Josh. Yeah,
but not on Barry.
He's funny.
You know what I have to say to you, Kente?
What?
Ciao, babies.
He's funny.
That's from Barry, in case you didn't
know. I know. That's the whatever hitman guy.
No.
Or he's some not hitman, but he's a mafia or something, Eastern European or whatever.
I would love to see the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel taken.
Why?
I feel like a lot of people are in your camp, Josh.
You want to see the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
It's so good. I mean,
good.
The thing about this series is, first of all, it is extremely
girl power.
Yes, very much. But also it turns a specific culture, which is kind of New York culture, on its head. And you know, it does this like great call out thing where like everything is so funny because it's just this is what it feels like. This is exactly what it looked like. And I love that. I absolutely loved it.
I also think it's one of the few shows in the comedy category that is a complete package as far as performance and directing and cinematography. It is all done exceptionally well.
Okay, wait, I disagree with that because What We Do in the Shadows also has that same exact affect. Everything from the direction to the writing to the cinema to the special effects are absolutely stellar. Like,
that's
I haven't seen the list. Oh man, okay, we'll have to have a watch party.
Why is it when Tori left? I was hoping some kind of Paranormal Activity thing was going to happen in their screen.
It did. You didn't see it?
I missed
Tori's microphone. She didn't know.
Yeah,
I missed it. Dang it. Uh-oh, we can't hear you.
See? Ghosts.
Yeah, we can't hear you, Tori.
Tori, you're still in the ether.
You're unmuted. It's probably a wire thing.
You might have to leave and come back or something.
That's what I had to do. Okay, so
I'm taking off.
How about now?
Now we can hear you.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm going crazy.
All right. So now we're going to move on to Outstanding Drama Series. Okay. Drama. So I'm going to say that this particular group actually kind of surprises me because it's so eclectic. I've never seen a group of Emmy noms that are so different from each other. So we have Better Call Saul, Euphoria, Ozark, Severance, Squid Games, Stranger Things, Succession, and Yellow Jackets. I'm going to start with you, Kente. First of all, how many of those have you actually seen?
Ozark and Better Call Saul. I've only saw a little bit of Stranger Things and very little of Squid Game. I'm aware of the other shows, so it's not like I don't know what they're about and all that.
Okay.
So you want me to start off with what I felt about the last season of Better Call Saul?
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us why you think that one should win.
Better Call Saul, the last season, started off the first three episodes were outstanding. It was some of the best television I've seen in a long time. I mean, the episode where can we say spoilers?
Yeah, go ahead.
When Nacho had to go underneath the oil to hide from the bad guys. Oh my God, man. And then you find out he really did something like that. I mean, it wasn't oil, but it was something like that. And then when he gets killed, oh my God, it was gut-wrenching.
He didn't get killed.
Nacho got killed.
He didn't get killed.
They spilled the nachos. And then it got kind of...
He took himself out of the equation.
Well, okay. You're right. He did commit suicide. But anyway, and then the next two, three episodes were okay, but not as good. And then, oh my God, that mid-season finale with Harold Hamlin getting murdered by Lalo. Oh my God. I remember
and Lalo was so awesome, but
what a great character. Lalo is so gangster that he actually kept a guy living next door to him that looked like him and paid for his dental work so that if he needed to have a body to propose as his dead body, he like, who thinks of that? Like, that was gangster. He actually kept a guy that lived next to him, made him think that he was like his friend or whatever. And then when he needed to fake his death, all he did was kill that guy. And then and used his dental work. That, I mean, like, come on, you can't get no gangster than that.
It's true.
But the final episode was fantastic. It was, and it was sad too, and it was lovely. And then Carol Burnett.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? Carol Burnett, and she killed it. I meant to say it like that. He was awesome. And then when she tells on him, remember that? Like when she's like, oh, when she hits the life alert. Oh my God.
Yes.
And then, oh, and then the Cinnabon episode where he's like timing it out. The guy eating the Cinnabon. Yeah, oh my God.
Going to the security station and
like, who eats their Cinnabon like that? By the way,
nobody.
Dude from Parks.
Literally nobody.
Oh, see, I don't even know. I got a Cinnabon, literally that day, and I hadn't had the Cinnabon in like years, and I just happened to get one. And when that episode came on, and they were doing the whole Cinnabon thing, and I was cracking up. I said, you know what? So I ate the Cinnabon while I was watching the show. So
he learned sports.
Yeah. So just for the sake of the conversation. I'm sorry. That show is fantastic. It's a treasure. It's a treasure. I wouldn't say it's as good as Breaking Bad, but it's very good on its own. It's like Frasier to Cheers in a way.
Yeah.
Except for there's a little more
depth. I said it was a perfect supplemental.
Yes. Great. Sorry.
Okay, so of this list, Better Call Saul, Euphoria, Ozark, Severance, Squid Game, Stranger Things, Succession, and Yellow Jackets. Tori, give us your pick. What's your pick?
Okay, name them one more time.
Okay, Better Call Saul,
yeah.
Euphoria,
uh-huh.
Ozark, Severance.
Okay, I think Ozark is going to win.
Yeah? You like that one the best?
Absolutely. Okay. The only reason that I pick that is the seriousness of him. He plays his part so well.
Like, I really liked this season of Ozark for different reasons than I liked all the other seasons. It didn't have the same format, I feel like, that a lot of the other seasons of Ozark have had. And for that, it really kind of took off by itself and was shining in its own way. But I see why people didn't feel like it was as illustrious this
season. It wasn't as good. I mean, me personally, I didn't think it was as good. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't Game of Thrones.
It was a lot of fixing loose story ends this season, because
sometimes you need an episode like that though in a series.
No, it was many episodes though.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
In the last scene, I didn't care for it. I know some people, people tried to explain, oh, this is why I don't care why they did it. I just didn't care for it. But I will say Julie Gardner in Ozark reminds me of Tori.
Why?
I can totally see you doing what she does in the movie, in the show.
You know, maybe I would have back in the day, but now I'm reformed. So
back in the day, 6 months ago.
We're all happy for that. Yeah. Very happy for that, Tori. All right, Josh.
She was a businesswoman, though. She was a businesswoman, so there was nothing shameful about what she did.
Right.
Yeah. Well, except for the shoot. Okay. Never mind. We won't get into that. Well, Josh. Leave
out the murder. Yeah. Part. I don't think exactly. Tori would go around shooting people in the face.
No. Well, maybe in a zombie apocalypse, you know, like it's a free for all the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. I'm actually going to talk about that in about 2 seconds here, right after we get through this. Josh, tell me what your pick is.
Is it safe?
It's safe. You're okay. You can come out now.
Well, as much as I would love to throw it to Squid Game because that was incredible, personally, I'm going to go with Better Call Saul because it's really the last chance to honor this universe that Vince Gilligan brought us, and I'd like to see it get the nod.
Okay. Well, I'm really split between two. I am split between Succession, which I've been following ever since it first came out. And this season was just amazing and scary. God, these people, their performances are like, damn, they are so crazy good. I can't even begin to get into why the show is so good, other than it is just a little bit like The Boys. It is so bad. The people are so scummy awful. And it makes for such a good show. So Succession is definitely right up there. But I think if I had to pick, I would pick Severance. Have you guys seen Severance at all?
Mm-mm.
Severance is amazing. It is not, it's so different from any story that I have seen really ever. And I mean, partly it's because of, okay, here, let me just read you the premise. The premise is a biotechnology corporation uses a severance medical procedure to separate the non-work memories of some of their employees from their work memories. One severed employee, Mark, gradually uncovers a web of conspiracy from both sides of the division. So basically, it's kind of like, you know, hey, you don't remember the things that have happened at work. It's all very, you know, there's all kinds of reasons behind it. There's all these little twists and turns. There's only one season of Severance right now, but it was so well done and so well conceived that it's hard. It's really hard for me to look at this and think that it is even in the category of almost everything else. I mean, I love Better Call Saul, and I also really loved Ozark. But it just isn't in the same league. There's something really standout-ish about this. So I would pick one of those. And then the other two, Yellow Jackets, which I don't know if anybody's seen that one. I liked it, but I didn't like it as much. Squid Games definitely deserves a big shout out. I want to talk just a little bit while we're at Outstanding Drama Series about how many of these are actually on just streaming services. Obviously, Better Call Saul is on AMC, so that's regular TV. We have Euphoria that's on HBO Max. We have Netflix having Ozark. Apple TV is Severance. Netflix again for Squid Games. Stranger Things with Netflix. Succession is HBO, so a little bit more, you know, prime time. Yes, you can watch it on your regular cable channels if you get Prime. And Yellow Jackets is Showtime. I'm kind of amazed, and I just wanted you guys to weigh in a little bit about the number of streaming platforms that are getting right now that are getting Emmy nods. This has actually come quite a ways in the past 4 years or so, when we had just sort of like some breakthroughs, you know, and then most of our especially for the high categories, the best comedy, best dramas, most of them were coming from primetime TV shows, you know, NBC, ABC, CBS. We were getting sort of that. And now it feels like a lot of the regular primetime network shows are moving sort of their prestige. Remember how we talked about prestige TV? They're moving their prestige shows over to their streaming platforms. So Paramount Plus. It's just interesting to me that streaming has become sort of the place to showcase your good stuff. Mm-hmm. And then regular TV has become a little bit more of a dumpster fire. You guys want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I believe it too. I just think that everybody, like, it's like the second string of, or like the fourth string in a football game, you know? You're like, oh man, you on the bench have to go out, and the little kid's like, oh my God, you know? It's kind of like
that. You know, it's funny. I remember when it was the opposite, where it was like there was network television and everything else was like secondary, you know? And then it went to cable, became the thing, you know, with the Sopranos and all those shows. And then now it's just like streaming and then everything else. So, you know, it's quite interesting how this happened. I mean, in some ways, I feel like it's too much content because it's like, there's so many dang shows to watch. It's just like, what to watch, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, hey, that's good for the actors because they're getting work. But
the thing is, and let me get your opinion on this. The thing is, and this is where I feel like the Emmys kind of come into this. The excellence in television has really been pushed toward streaming content. And I mean, I feel like there's good reason, right? Good reason is when you have a subscriber base and you are borrowing against your subscriber base in order to build content. So you're taking out, you know, massive amounts of content loans. This is actually really good for excellent content. And network TV doesn't have that leverage, right? They have streaming, they have ad campaign residuals. They really don't have the kind of huge leverage that I feel like streaming platforms do. But I will say that, you know, even this year, and I feel like it's a huge snub, even this year, the comedy show Ghosts was amazing. I mean, this is definitely a found family story. It's so good from beginning to end. It's actually kind of a remake of a British show. But it's absolutely astounding, really, really good, really funny. And it was just regular TV on regular cable networks. It also gets streamed to Hulu, but it's amazing. And it didn't get anything. It didn't even get any attention at all. And it does make me kind of think that, you know, we are definitely moving in a different sort of direction where streaming content has become the prestige TV foundation. This is where you go to showcase your prestige TV. You don't go to NBC, ABC, CBS, Sci-Fi Channel, or, you know, any of the other associated just regular cable TV, because you're not going to get the same viewership. I don't know. What do you think, Josh? Do you have an opinion on this?
Well, for me, at least, it's a matter of having everything that is available in a spot where I know it's going to be. Does anybody really do appointment viewing anymore? Really a thing?
We sort of do because we have DVR, right? So we schedule out what we're going to watch based on what we've got on our DVR. But we definitely don't hang around and like wait for our shows to come on, except there are some. Like What We Do in the Shadows, we definitely are there on that night. We also do... if HBO Max has House of Dragon, we're there for it. We're there for, we will be there for Rings of Power, because that definitely is. But all of these, the thing is, and this is why it gets so complicated, streaming platforms are releasing shows across time zones in a very different way than network TV ever did or even can. And so because of that, we end up with audiences that are viewing the catalog instead of viewing, like you said, you know, doing appointment viewing. We're not getting that. Because you're, and for some people, they don't even start watching a show until the entire season has dropped, which is a really interesting way.
And if you would like to know a fun fact, Better Call Saul, in a lot of regions that don't get AMC or AMC Plus, it's a Netflix original.
Oh, hey.
Everybody has one, at least one thing that they stream, like one, like, you know, Paramount Plus or Disney.
Yeah,
I mean, at this point, like, I have, this is just anecdotal for me, right? I have DirecTV, but the reason that I have DirecTV is so that I can use the DVR to go through the guide and catalog and start taping the things that I want to, or recording the things that I want to record. Like, we recorded the History Channel series called The Colosseum about ancient Rome. We have Crazy Rich Ancients, which we really love. Those kinds of things, they're worth watching to me. But again, like a lot of people, I would rather watch them all at one time in kind of a binge. So we just DVR them all. And on top of that, DirecTV allows me to bundle all of my premium show channels all together. So I do that. But then I'm streaming them on Roku. So I'm not actually watching the DirecTV presentation of any of this. I'm just using it to get the pricing. That's it. And I don't know if this is like common, but I feel like most people are using a combination of streaming services and then. In fact, most millennials I know have ditched cable altogether. So if they're not seeing it on Hulu, if they're not seeing it on Amazon, Kinte, do you have an actual streaming service? I'm not a streaming service. Do you have an actual cable service, or are you just watching
DirecTV? Because I watch a lot of sports.
Yeah. Okay. See. So that's the other thing that I hear. Also, did you know that DirecTV has the NFL ticket for free now?
No, really? Is that true?
Yeah. Go check it out. You can get an NFL ticket now for free on DirecTV. It basically was part of a incentive package that they did because of the pandemic. They didn't deliver on some things, so this is part of their, you know, hey, here's.
Do I have to sign up for it?
You may need to tell them that you want it. Yeah, I don't know for sure that's true.
I will call them tonight.
But we just got word that we now have NFL ticket, and that's kind of cool because we're in Hawaii, so we see things in different time zones, which is always a problem. I want to sort of stay on this idea here just a little bit, because one of the things that in the next category that I wanted to talk about was the interconnection here between what we see in the Emmys and what is sort of happening, I think, award-wise altogether. First of all, I can't even find five people that I know personally who care about what the Emmys say. Nobody cares. It's very interesting. But then there are people within my other specific groups, like the writers that I know, the people that do original content, the critics that I know, they are very interested in what happens at the Emmys. Before we move on to the next piece, I just wanted to get your idea about what are you guys feeling about award ceremonies in general? I mean, I've heard a lot of people say that after what happened at the Oscars with Will Smith, which we don't even need to get into, that, you know, it's just like, okay, that was just sort of the last straw. I don't really care about these things. Why am I watching? It always feels like it's just the drama of the award show that gets more press than the actual entertainment that is being honored. So I just wanted to sort of throw that out there and ask you guys what you thought about that.
Personally, I think, how do I want to say it? I think that you make a good point. I'm sorry. Today, I'm really out of it. And I totally forget what I was just talking about.
So let me rephrase this and then tell me what you think.
Okay.
How are you feeling about award shows
in general? Okay, now the thought came back. Okay, I don't I don't care about them. I think they're important, though. I think the vanity and the greed and the power of these people in Hollywood and New York and stuff like that, they need validation that they're awesome. You know what I mean? Like, they thrive on that shit, you know?
So, okay, let me ask Josh. Josh, what's your opinion? Before I give you mine, what's your opinion?
My opinion on award shows. I enjoy them. I enjoy watching them. I love the anticipation of finding out who the winner's going to be. I understand where people might be a little turned off by the idea of, as they put it, it's the rich people, you know, patting themselves on the back, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? I can't really think of any industry that doesn't have some sort of recognition.
Right.
Whether it's movies and television or, you know, McDonald's handing out employee of the month, or, you know, you're the manager of the year. It's good. It feels good to be recognized for your work. It just so happens that these people are in an industry that is very forward facing and has a lot of recognizable names, which would be newsworthy. That's why it's covered. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, in the early days, it was pretty much just a dinner and, hey, you won an award, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, so I
the Dundies on The Office.
Essentially.
Yeah.
All right. What about you, Kinte? How do you feel about it?
I used to be all into it. Now I really don't care much. I mean, it's cool, you know, and if it's a show you like gets an award, it's like, oh, wonderful, you know, but for the most part, I don't get into it as much as I used to, you know what I mean? I've been to some award shows, and they're so boring when you're there live. So it's almost, to me, it's better to watch it on television, because then you can go in and out, you know? So
let me ask the questions differently, and then I'll ask you first. Do awards change your viewing habits? If a show wins a bunch of awards, do you rush out and go see it?
No.
No. What about you, Josh?
I mean, I don't want to say I rush out, but it certainly makes me raise an eyebrow. Like, okay. I've never seen that. How? And then it's winning so many awards. You know what? I'll put it on my list of things to check out. And considering what we do in the shadows has been on my list for a long time, I may or may not get around to it at some point. But it does give me pause to think maybe I should check it out.
And what about you, Tori?
No.
You don't feel that way? I have very complicated feelings about this. I do definitely listen to what people say. Specifically, I like to listen to critics. I like to see what things have won awards. But I got to say that the people who have already won awards right now because they fell into technical categories, those are the people that I'm the most interested in. So the shows that won for best technical score on film editing, the best sound compilation, the best individual writing categories, those are the ones that I actually love the most. Outstanding animated program doesn't fit into a standard Emmy nomination.
Where do you put Rick and Morty, you know?
And Rick and Morty actually was nominated for Outstanding Animated Program. The one that won was Arcane, and that I think that one was on Netflix, and that was actually really good too. But, you know, Arcane won out over Bob's Burgers, Rick and Morty, Simpsons, and What If. Yeah, that's really big. So if you haven't seen Arcane, I feel like that might encourage you to go take a look at it, because look at who it was in competition with. And if you think that those are good, then you might be willing to check out some other ones. But then we move into, did you guys see What If? That was a Disney Plus show. It was the Marvel presupposition really good.
We should watch that. I'm really into that stuff. So I didn't even know that.
And it's completely canon with the MCU.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's the other thing. And actually, posthumously, Chadwick Boseman won for the What If episode that he did the voiceover narration for. So I did really like that. I thought that was really good.
When T'Challa was the Star-Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, I mean, it was such an interesting reimagining. I really liked that. That was a good, good idea. Yeah. But then, you know, there's other stuff that kind of fits in here. Like one of the other categories that doesn't fit into the regular award ceremony is outstanding directing for a documentary or a nonfiction program. And that is there's really good stuff in here that I hadn't even heard about before. One, which I watched just recently, was called Searching for Italy. And man, that was so good. I mean, really excellent. The one that won was Peter Jackson for The Beatles Get Back.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I have to say that totally deserved it. Yes.
I kind of want to watch that again, and it was 9 hours long.
It was so good.
I love that thing. I've seen it twice.
Nine hours
long. Well, it's like three parts though.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. And I was about to say, Lord, that's a long time.
You're seeing such an intimate look at how the Beatles create.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's Peter Jackson, so you know he did Lord of the Rings, so you know.
Yeah, right. He does.
Oh man, I just watched Rings of Power. I don't mean to change the subject, but that show is amazing. That's all.
Yeah, I have a feeling that will definitely. Although I'm gonna.
I thought that was about Sonic the Hedgehog. Rings of Power.
It is. Yeah. haven't you heard the controversy? There's blue people in Rings of Power, and that's where. Oh my God! Everybody's really upset because there's blue.
Heck yeah! I'm upset too.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really bad.
Why blue people? I don't understand.
They should only be white males in it.
No, rings. Yeah, there's this huge, you know, I mean, like it's so bad. It's so bad that it's actually zeitgeist material right now that there are so many haters that are trying to review bomb Rings of Power.
Yeah, Josh, because, why are you review bombing that show?
I just don't like Tolkien, so.
Yeah,
oh my God!
I'm sorry, Josh. We can't be friends. I'll still do the show, but we will not. Cut off.
Oh, and he doesn't like Joseph Campbell.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
He don't like Joseph Campbell. He doesn't like that fish movie.
He doesn't like the fish movie. He doesn't like The Shape of Water. I was going to say that one of the things I think that'll happen next year is that next year will be a big year for fantasy TV in the Emmys. This year we got a lot of technical nods in fantasy TV, although I didn't see anything that came up for Wheel of Time or any of the other kind of good ones. I did see Witcher. It didn't win anything, but it came up for best costume design. It came up for a couple of other ones too, which were special visual effects in a season. It came up for them, but it didn't win them. In fact, the visual effects in a season went out to Boba Fett. But I have a feeling that next year sucked ass.
I only saw the beginning of it. It sucked ass.
it's crazy. It's crazy that it actually won for best visual effects, because let me tell you what it was up against. Lost in Space, which had amazing green screen technology. I mean, like they used the 360 thing, which was great. Stranger Things, The Witcher, and Foundation.
Okay.
So, I mean, the fact that it won out over them is kind of, that's big and telling. But, okay, good for them.
Can we go back to the Beatles thing real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
That is so good. That is so good.
And the fact that it won is also really good.
It should have won. It was fantastic. It was a fantastic film. And, how many times do you get that of something great, you know, somebody
not often. Great.
Like, I mean, just think if you had that of Tolkien writing, you know what I mean? Like you actually got a window into some of the greatest creators of all time figuring this shit out. Like, it's
hard to understate how much of an impact the Beatles had on not just pop culture, but the music scene altogether, not just rock, but lyrics, everything.
And
You guys know that they were going to make The Lord of the Rings and the Beatles were going to be the stars of it?
I did know that. I did know that. Yes.
So I don't know who Frodo was going to be.
That would have been hilarious. Probably Probably
was John Lennon going to be Gollum?
Oh, no, that was going to be their stage manager. I want to talk about one more because I know we're running short on time, but I want to talk about one more. The outstanding short form animated program, which, you know, in Academy Award speak is like, you know, best short, basically, or best short animated, I should say. So I had a chance to see basically all of these. The nominees were The Boys Presents, and then Diabolical was the name of the episode, Love, Death, and Robots, Hebrew, which is the one that actually won, Robot Chicken. There was no specific one. It was just Robot Chicken. Star Wars for Visions and When Billy Met Lisa. Now, these are all really good. And every animated studio that was involved in all of these deserves major shout outs. But I have to say that, and I said I was going to talk about this, Love, Death, and Robots, Hebrew, which is the last episode of Love, Death, and Robots in season 3, was particularly both disturbing and epically done. The animation is not just unbelievably breathtaking, but the animation is a part of the story beat itself, or story beats itself. They actually, instead of going with martial artists to choreograph the fight scenes, they went with dancers to make it feel like there was fluidity, because it's the story of a siren who emerges from a lake and then, you know, basically captures people that are that have gold with them, or any treasures really. And it's absolutely astounding. I won't give a whole lot away. There's a whole lot that's involved in this, and the overall piece that I think is worth the award here is how incredibly meticulous the animation was in this. It feels like a combination between what I used to consider to be, you know, like, hey, let's watch something that's rotoscoped and something that's hand-drawn. It feels like there's a great marriage of those two things together, but it's not. It's a completely different technology, and it's absolutely breathtaking. I definitely suggest, if you haven't seen it. Have you guys seen that particular one? Did you watch Love, Death, and Robots at all?
No, but would you consider yourself a siren?
I would not consider myself a siren, no, because I actually have zero use for taking people to do anything with them. In fact, I really don't like people. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Sorry.
Women love people. That's not the thing.
I think I'll do podcasts with you, but
people are the worst. That is not the gen I know.
See, Kinte knows me too well.
That's not the gen I grew up on.
Yeah, right. Also, that's really not true anyway. You know what I really loved though about some of the categories, and I have to say also the other thing is, Kinte, the Beatles also won for outstanding picture editing, and you know how there's parts of the Beatles, that whole anthology, where they are cutting and intersplicing things in, and it feels like, man, it feels like there's something big happening. Like you can almost feel anticipation.
I mean, there's no way you can watch that and not sing along.
No, and also it's like, no.
And you know, and it's just like, and then it's like some of your favorite Beatles songs. They're like figuring it out. It's like so good. Like they were doing Two of Us.
Yeah,
they did Dig a Pony. They did, you know, some of those great songs on that album, and you're just sitting there like, wow, this is so cool. Like, this is great.
I felt like it was amazing the number of people who didn't even realize that they knew as many Beatles songs as they did.
Oh man, I know every single one.
And yeah,
I love their music. Now, can I say something?
Yeah.
And when it comes to the actors that are nominated and stuff, there's only really one person where I really, really want her to win. And that's Rhea Seehorn from Better Call Saul. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like she is such a great character. She's been a great character on the show. And this last season, she was just out of this world awesome. And you know, the last couple of episodes, they really, if she wins the Emmy, they hooked her up, because those last couple of episodes were just basically give her the Emmy, you know, like she just killed it. And, you know, I felt like Breaking Bad, the lead, the female lead on there, the wife, I can't think of her name right now. His wife. Skylar, thank you. The actress is great. I hated her character.
her character.
And but they did a much better job with her. She's just a great character. She's so well-rounded. She's just, I mean, and she plays it to a T. Like, it's just phenomenal. And then she does this, that she does the subtlety things, you know, and then I feel like I would love to see her win, because she definitely deserves it. Cause I felt like of all the shows I've watched, she was definitely the best actress on television the last several years. And I think she has like the best part. I mean, that character is great. She has her own agency, but she still like loves, you know, Saul.
She loves, you know, Jimmy.
More Jimmy than Saul. You're right. But just phenomenal. But I will say this one thing though. I don't care how much I love someone, I'm not doing 86 years for nobody. Just to show her that I'm not a jerk. Like, I'm gonna do 86 years. I bet you when he gets to the 6-year mark, he's gonna be like, "Why did I do that?" You
know, I'm so glad I finished watching the show.
Huh?
I'm so glad I finished watching the show.
Oh yeah.
We did mention spoilers. Sorry, Josh. So we are going to have to close out this hour, but I do want to, I mean, the Emmys happen on September the 12th. So
Grayson is going to the Emmys, by the way. Grayson's going to the Emmys.
Oh yeah. Oh, nice.
It's Monday on NBC, right?
Yeah. Yep. And it's, I have a feeling that this particular one it'll be interesting. It also sees sort of the return to the pre-pandemic, or, you know, pre-pandemic light party season. So there'll be lots of news. There'll be lots of, you know, sort of glamour and gala. And, you know, it should be interesting. If you don't tune in, obviously, you know, every single news outlet archives these things. But I would definitely suggest that you watch some of the acceptance speeches this year, because I hear that some of them are going to be kind of interesting. I won't say too much more about it, but I definitely think that that might be worth tuning in altogether. I am going to ask my panel here to tell us how we can get you on social media, but I do want to say that hopefully next week on TV Dinners, we are going to do our next in the series called Sex in the Series, where we're going to discuss some of the more intricate ideas about sexuality on television. What's too much? How have we sort of evolved? Where are things going? Why are they going in that direction? And hopefully we'll have a nice rounded out cast.
The fact that I'm a virgin, will that preclude me from joining the panel?
No, absolutely not, Kinte. In fact, if you have done a purity promise to your whoever, please come on board and let us know about that.
Yeah, I have a chastity ring I'm wearing right now.
Don't you dare take it off.
And it's not on, and I don't wear it on my fingers, by the way. But
we'll have that discussion next week.
All right.
So Tori, how can we find you on social media?
On Facebook, you can get me Tori Rush. You can follow me. I post a lot of funny memes. It's a good time. You can get me on Instagram at Rush Tori. And I'm going to start a TikTok tomorrow. I decided I'm going to do that. And, you know, talk to people. Talk to millions of people that are going to see that reel. And be like, hey. I don't know what I'm going to say. Yeah. So then also, you can get me every every Thursday here too. So
very cool.
Yep.
All right. Kinte, how can we find you on social media?
Can I make an addendum to what Tori just said?
Absolutely.
Her Instagram name, fellas, is not an invitation.
No.
It's not a suggestion or an invitation, okay?
Maybe that's why I get so many creepy messages.
You did. It is. It, yeah. Your name is, you said, it's called Rush Tori.
Yeah, I can't figure out how to change my name.
No, right. Tori, news alert. The reason or that put, you get so many creepy Rush people Tori. Is because you're female. I'm so sorry to have to break that to you, but that's the whole
thing. Just put on there, don't Rush Tori.
Don't rush
me. Yes, please don't rush me. You know what? I don't care. And you know, it's funny. Whenever I was doing a lot of drugs and stuff, they would make fun of that.
You talking about Fred Flintstone Vitamins?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Good.
You can get me at Kinte F on Twitter. You can get me at Kinte Ferguson on Instagram. And you can get the website is theindyradio.com. That's theindyradio.com. Thank you so much for letting me be a participant of this program. And you know, I love you, Jen, so much. Despite the fact you hang out with Josh.
We value you, Kinte. We missed you too. We're really glad that you're back from vacation. I hope that you're going to be doing lots of things soon. I hope that you and I are going to be able to connect to do some stuff because I'm super excited.
Even if Josh is a part of it, I'll be a part of it. You know, we have that big rivalry, me and him.
All right, Josh, give us the down low. How can we find Josh you Lassa. On where everything?
Well, as always, you can go to wadcomedia.com to find all the latest and greatest links and information to find me on the interwebs, including all of the great Wadco Media shows like this one, or tomorrow night's 10 to 1, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 Pacific, and 2:30 Hawaiian. I know my time zones. And after that, immediately following is the Wadcast, of course, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Both shows tomorrow are going to be, I think, really good because tomorrow, Jen, I believe it is all about what?
Movies that are inspired by fairy tales.
That's going to be a couple of epic lists, I think. They've all been pretty awesome so far. If you haven't checked it out yet, check it out wherever you find your all your favorite podcasts. And the podcast is going to be about lazy writing, or more importantly, why people are using it as a crutch to describe things they don't like. It seems to be one of the default negative things people say. And I kind of take offense to this because as a writer...
Who's lazy?
Who is very lazy.
This doesn't describe being a lazy writer at all.
It looks nothing like me.
Exactly. I mean, I want to see the reviews where people are saying, you know, accusing you of spending 3 hours on TikTok instead of actually writing, because that's the thing that is actually lazy writing.
That's lazy writing. Not She-Hulk twerking.
That sounds lazy.
It's not. It was so good.
And also lazy writing what was that show? The Star Wars show with Ewan McGregor.
The one about Obi-Wan.
Talking about lazy ass writing.
Wow.
Started on that.
We are going to have to come to fisticuffs about this. I'm so sorry.
Okay. You know what? I'm ready. You know what? When this show is over, we're going to have this conversation.
Guys, this part of the show is all about me. Okay. But yeah, that's where you can find me.
Okay.
Awesome. Great. Very awesome. All right. And you can find me over at moviesandmeals.com, where I have already started my countdown to Halloween. More recipes coming this weekend. We just finished up making some pretty cool stuff, which I think are movie inspired. Super awesome. I have to mention this just real quick. you never know what your kind of content is going to get picked up. And I have to say that, like, I've had this recipe on my blog forever and a day called Predator Prime Rib. And I mean, like, it's been there since the inception of Movies Make the Meal. And just recently, because of the release of Prey, all of a sudden, yeah, it was a really good movie.
All of a sudden, that recipe
went to like 10,000 hits in less than a month. It was like a month, wow. And all of a sudden it was 10,000 hits. Yeah, crazy, nice. crazy.
Congrats.
So, well, I say that because, you know, no matter what you want to find entertainment-wise, you can find it. I'm going to leave it at that. All right. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, my panel. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. Had a really great time. We will see you next week, and have a great week. Rings of Power. Bye. To